So we're talking about God's beautiful gift of marriage. But really, a lot of the message today is we're talking about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our relationship as the bride of Christ with Christ as the bridegroom. Of course, there are three relationships that are paramount here. Of course, the husband and wife relationship, our relationship with the Lord, and then our relationship corporately as the bride of Christ with Christ as the bridegroom. And through it all, Christ is all. He's our all in all. And Christ is full of grace and truth. We're to imitate Christ, full of grace and truth. We've seen that the key secret to imitating Christ is submission to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so God's beautiful gift of marriage is really illustrative of these three relationships. The question is marriage an illustration of God as the bridegroom with us as the church, the bride of Christ? Or is the church and the relationship between church and Christ as the bridegroom illustrative of husbands and wives in marriage? Well, we shall see. But the key secret is expressed in Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So I'd like us to again go to Ephesians chapter 5 and begin reading at 5:15 to really get into this passage again to review what we've already gone over. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." Even the lesson of Hebrews, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We talked about how husbands and wives need to seek to understand what the Lord's will is. Not my will, not your will, but what is the Lord's will. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How's this a strategy for a great marriage? Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks to the Lord for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good and the bad. For everything. Then verse 21, which is the key secret here, really, to so many of our relationships. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's part of our worship. It's part of our relationship with Christ. It's how we revere Him. It's how we honor Him. It's how we fear Him. Out of reverence for Christ, we're submitting to one another. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is a Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands everything and everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. Now we see that this submission is not one-sided. The Apostle Paul is saying, husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Love. And this word for love here is a very high word. It's the highest word in the language for love. It's not love in the worldly sense, say, sexual passion. It's love as Christ demonstrated on the cross and through His life. Today in the prophetic, we had a theme of love. Of God's love, how love never fails. Jackie shared a passage of the love inspired, that Jesus' love was inspired Him to go to the cross. Lily shared from John 3:17. Well, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." And so this love, of marriage, this love of Christ for us and our relationship with Him, this love of Christ the bridegroom and our corporate relationship with the church is a very high love. Ephesians 5, the beginning of the chapter, verse 1 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as," again that phrase, again, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Husbands, love your wives. This love is a very high call. The husband is called to lay down his life for his wife, even to die if need be. A Christ-like husband is continually looking for ways to prefer, to uphold, to lay his life down, to serve his wife, to make the coffee. I'm so grateful for McDonald's drive-thru myself, because I have a very hard time making things. But, you know, at least I had, you know, the thought counts sometimes, right? At least the thought. That's what my wife tells me, that, you know, even the thought sometimes is helpful. But to continually be looking for ways. Matthew 20:28. Again, we have that phrase, just as. Tim shared this anecdote of the mother interloping for her two sons who sit at the right and the left at Jesus in His kingdom. In Matthew 20:28, Jesus said, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Christ laid His life down for the church. We, as the church, as the bride of Christ, the bridegroom, we are the bride of Christ. And the Lord makes us, His church, new. He makes us clean. He makes us vibrant. All right, Jeff somehow picked out the song this morning under the leading of the Holy Spirit. The song, "Even So Come," like a bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for a King, we sing, "Even So Come, Lord Jesus, come," like a bride waiting for a groom. Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Implicit here is that the bride is clean. She's been washed. And Christ makes us new through rebirth and washing. He cleanses us from our sin. Titus 3:5 says, "He saved us." How did He save us? He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. See, when we live in this world, just the way we have been made because of Adam's first sin, and the way we've been made is that we have a sin nature. We go the way of sin, and that dirties us. Just by walking in this world, just going to work and everything we've got to do, our hands get dirty. We get dirty. We get besmirched. And that dirtiness is sin. And sin leads to death and destruction. It brings us down. And so how does God save us? He saves us by cleaning us. He saves us by washing us. And that's how we have, that's how we're renewed. We have that rebirth in Him. He makes us through by, He makes us new by cleansing us from our sin. And in order to experience His presence, in order to come into that most holy place, we need cleansing. Christ cleanses us, the church. I sometimes wonder if we should have the Lord's table earlier in the service to just make sure. You know, we've come to that point where we've confessed our sin, any sin before the Lord, and we're clean before Him. Of course, you know, we need to be continually coming before Him. at night, in the morning, hopefully, you know, on the way to church, you know, we've confessed any known sin. All right. Of course, the Lord's table is there for us to really reflect before Him and ponder Him, to see, really examine our hearts. That's what the purpose of the Lord's table is for, to examine our hearts and to be honest with ourselves and confess any known sin so we're cleansed. Christ cleanses us, the church. Christ, the bridegroom, cleanses us as the bride of Christ. And so praise be to God. As we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, He does this. He cleanses us in our life. It's a great feeling to be clean. When one is clean, there's something about being clean and being renewed in the Holy Spirit that there's nothing stopping you. All right, this sin burdens us. Sin in Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim had this great burden of sin that he had to carry around with him all the time. And that's the way it is with us. When we live in sin, or we don't take the time to take care of that sin and get before the Lord and release it to Him and get cleansed by the blood of Christ, it weighs us down. There's a burden to carrying around sin. So it's a great feeling. It's a great sense. It's a great sense of renewal to be cleansed from that sin, to be washed. And it gives us a new start, and we have a sense then that nothing's stopping us as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as Christ washes us in our relationship with Him, Christ the bridegroom, Christ, in a sense, the husband. Christ, the bridegroom, washes us as the bride of Christ. So husbands are also called to wash their wife from the world. Well, how do we wash our wife from the things that happen in this world and just the things that come up? Even a comment here or a comment there, and even in conversations on the job or in the neighborhood or wherever one may be. And we just get dirty by being in this world. Well, how do we as husbands wash our wife? We do it with biblical, Spirit-led communication. Biblical, Spirit-led communication. This world besmirches. This world dirties our wife. And again, all it takes is a comment here or a comment there. We might not even recognize it at first. Have you ever recognized when someone says something at first, you go, we're just going on? But then later on, we recognize that something was planted in our heart. There was some little dart that was sent in our heart. And it stings. And we don't even know how it happened. We got to go back and we got to think, you know, what happened in that conversation? There was something that, you know, hurt me. All right? And dirtied me. And stung me. And I know the Lord has used me, all right, to talk with my wife, to draw her out and to help to take that sting away. Whatever it was that hurt her, even something that she might not have recognized at the time. But our wives experience the stain of this world. And so the ministry really is that the ministry that the husband has with his wife is that of cleaning his wife, cleansing his wife from the dirtiness of this world. And again, how does that happen? It happens through our conversation. It happens through our communication, that our communication be biblically edifying. Husbands, you clean your wife through speaking the word of God to her. You clean your wife through speaking the word of God to her. John 15:3 says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." God's word cleanses. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Having our bodies washed, cleansed, made holy. To be holy means to be set apart. What is being holy? Again, being holy is not just being holy in myself. But holy, being holy is experiencing Christ, experiencing His presence. How do we experience Christ? We experience Christ by being in that most holy place, by being in His presence. How do we get in Christ's presence? By being cleansed. How are we cleansed? Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which washes us First John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when we come to Him and are honest before Him through confession, He cleanses us. He makes us right. He washes us by the blood of the Lamb. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See, when our hearts are cleansed, our minds are cleansed, when we're cleansed from the sin of this world, we can see. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The way we see God, the way we hear God, is in our heart. And so blessed are the pure in heart. When our heart has been cleansed, we can see God. We can experience God. We can be in His presence. We can be in that most holy place. We have fellowship with God. So husbands are called to wash, to clean, to make your wife holy, to help your wife to feel set apart, to feel special, to feel one of a kind. And that's what being holy in Christ is. Look at verse 27. And to present her to Himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. I'm always telling Sylvia that she doesn't need any makeup. All right? That she doesn't need to cover up any blemish. All right? In the morning, she still looks as beautiful as she does at night. All right? I've been blessed with a beautiful wife. Husbands, your wife doesn't need makeup. Your wife simply needs you. Your love is what causes your wife to be radiant. Husband, make your wife feel every day that out of all of the women of this world, you chose her. She's set apart. And so with the church, I know I'm going back and forth between the church and as the bride and of the bridegroom Christ and husbands and wives. And so with the church, Ephesians 1:4 says that God chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. We're to be a radiant church without blemish, holy and blameless. It's what God is calling us to be. We're set apart for His purpose. We're to be a light in this world, a city on a hill. Verse 28 says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. The Apostle Paul is going back and forth between the relationships as well. And so in the same way as Christ loves the church, as Christ laid his life down for the church, as Christ washes the church, in the same way, we're to do this as husbands. And so as a husband's own body, husbands, you are loving yourself when you take care of your wife. Just let that sink in. Husbands, you are loving your wife, you're loving yourself when you take care of your wife. Genesis 2:24 says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. One flesh. And so for us, the church, we are the body of Christ. Christ loves us. We are His body. And so here, Paul is really elevating the marriage relationship. In his day, the wives were considered property. Where a husband, in effect, would own the wife, just considered property. But not so, says Paul. You are to treat your wife as your own body. And so the wife is not the husband's property. The wife is part of you as husband. And that's a big difference. Husbands, you don't own your wife. You're one with your wife. It's not O-W-N, own. It's O-N-E, one. The two become one. And so husbands, we are one with our wife. We see our wife as part of you. And so husbands, we need to keep this in mind. How she goes is how you go. You think of Siamese twins. All right, Siamese twins have to go everywhere together. Of course, that's a medical condition. That's a very challenging situation. But as a husband and a wife, you are one. As your wife goes, you go. There's no competition between a husband and wife. If anything, there should be a godly competition to see who blesses the other more. Look at verse 29. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. Again, you have that phrase again, just as Christ does the church. He feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. Guys, how much do we like to feed ourselves? All right? That same desire is what we should have to care for our wife. And how much more does Christ care for his body, the bride of Christ? Look at verse 30. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Again, Genesis 2:23 says, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. United as one flesh. God is approving and blessing the husband and wife in marriage. It's why it's so important that we hold to a strongly biblical view of marriage between husband and wife. Because it's what God has blessed. It's what God has approved. All other so-called unions won't receive the blessing of God. And of course, we want to have the blessing of God. We're united as one flesh as husband and wife. And that unity as one flesh goes deeper than just the sexual relationship. The joy of the marriage relationship goes so much deeper. The joy of the marriage relationship really comes down to that we're sharing all of life together. We're sharing the good, the bad. We're sharing the highs, the lows. We're sharing even the heartaches. But we have that where we can share all of life together. It's what God has approved and blessed for the mutual satisfaction of both husband and wife. Let's go back to verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. Man will leave his parents and cleave to his wife. This is a major issue in marriages, the leave and cleave principle. There are so many marital issues that happen regarding this, where either parents are interfering into marriages, into their kids' marriage, or maybe the husband is getting seeking too much counsel from the parents, or the wife is seeking too much counsel from her parents. As a pastor, as a principal, I've recognized this over the years, that the leave and cleave principle is very, very foundational to marriage. Decisions need to be made between husbands and wives together. Yes, of course, husbands and wives can get counsel from their parents, but there's a fine line between parents allowing married children to make their own decisions and dictating to them. And that's very important. We've been very grateful to our parents that they haven't interfered into our marriages. Of course, sometimes we seek counsel from our parents, all right? But, you know, there's that definite principle of leave and cleave that we have in our marriages, and that helps us. I'm sure our parents are praying for us. Maybe they sometimes see us going down the wrong road, all right? And they're praying for us, all right? But this is a very important principle for you and your marriage, that it's okay to get counsel, but there's a fine line between getting too much influence from parents. What we need to do is to seek God's direction. Again, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, verse 17. Understand what the Lord's will is. It's not my will. It's not your will. What is the Lord's will? Let's seek the Lord together. Whenever there's a financial decision to make, be made, or some kind of purchase, or we're moving, or this and that, or work situation, big decisions, even little decisions. It's a great thing to come together as husband and wife, hold hands, pray together. Lord, we commit this matter into your hands. Lead us and guide us. All right? Not making rash decisions, not making decisions too quickly, seeking the Lord, praying together, coming before the Lord and seeking His will together. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And so we have to leave our parents and cleave to our spouse. Verse 32 says, "This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." Make no mistake, the main foundational truth here is the love of Christ for His bridegroom, the church. And this love that Christ has for the church of Jesus Christ is an example for our marriages. It's an example for our marriages. It really helps us to show what marriage should be like. Verse 33. "However, each one of us, each one of you, also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." And so it's a mystery, and yet it's very practical. And it's very practical for a husband and wife. I'd like us all to stand. The main point for us as husbands is to see Christ as our example of laying down His life for us, the church, and to love our wife as we love ourselves, to see our wife as our own body. The main point for wife, I'll just close up today. The main point for the wife is to respect your husband. The wife wants to know that she's loved, that she's set apart, that she's the one love of her husband. The husband is called on to love his wife and to lay his life down and to love her as unto the Lord as what is worthy of respect. And the husband wants to know that he has his wife's respect. Of course, it's a two-way street. It works together. But there's these three relationships. Our relationship with the Lord individually, our relationship as the bride of Christ, the bridegroom, as corporately, and being made ready as the church of Jesus Christ, and of course, the husband and wife relationship. Father, I just thank you for each one here. Father, I lift up each husband. I lift up each wife. I lift up each marriage relationship. Lord God, you know what's going on behind closed doors and the issues that may have to be looked at, Lord God, and what's going on. Lord, I pray that you give each husband and wife grace, Lord God. Help us remember that you give grace to the humble. Help us remember the principle of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Help us to not make rash decisions and go it alone, but always to walk together as husband and wife, seeking your direction for us, Lord God. Help us as husbands to lay our life down and to serve and to see you, Lord Jesus Christ, as our example, Lord God. And help the wife to just show the respect that men need, Lord God, and desire to know that they have the respect of their wife, Lord God. Help us as men to be worthy of that respect, Lord God. And Father, help us as the church of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that you would make us ready, Lord God, that you would continue to clean us, Lord God, that we would be that vibrant church, Lord God, that you're calling us to be, that bride of Christ, Lord God. Lord God, every Sunday, bring us into your presence, Lord God. Help us to love to be in your presence, so much so that as we go through our week, Lord God, that we want to maintain that unbroken relationship with you, Lord God, as we're going about our work, Lord God, that you're there, Lord God. Lord God, help us to be less and less distracted from your presence, Lord God. Less and less distracted from being with you, Lord God. Help us to recognize those things that bring us out of fellowship to you, Lord God. And let those be lessened more and more in our life and be put underneath the blood of Christ, Lord God, so that we can be back into that unbroken fellowship with you, Lord. I pray this for everyone here. I pray for all of us corporately. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day in the Lord.